sit up. A second later, she realized the futility of the attempt and surrendered to gravity. The stranger was back down in a flash, catching her. His riding gloves exposed his bare fingers, and she could feel them in her hair. "Don't do anything rash," he said. "We just got you back to the world."
"Right."
With the help of the two of them, Annalene sat up. "I was heading home from Bastien when I saw you were having troubles," he said. "That was some masterful riding, you catching up to your daughter. I hope I didn't offend you by getting involved."
"No, no offense," Annalene deadpanned.
Turning her head, she saw what had become of Snit. The dewback drooled on the sand, his once crazed eyes staring mindlessly at her. Looking along the animal's length, Annalene thought his rear leg looked like a half-deflated balloon. The bones, deep inside, had shattered badly from the misstep. But more remarkable was where Snit was, only a couple of meters behind her. The creature had just missed her when he landed.
"It was a lucky thing," the man said.
"Lucky," Annalene said, rubbing the side of her head. "There'd be a knot there for sure."
"I was afraid we'd run into a sarlacc."
"A healthy fear to have." Annalene forced herself to stand. Once sure of her bearing, she wiped her hand on her shirt and presented it.
"Annalene Caldwell."
"Annalene." The man seemed reluctant at first to shake her hand, but soon did so amiably.
"I haven't heard that one. Family name?"
"Not any longer, if I have anything to say about it," she said, smiling.
"Most just call me Annie."
The rescuer paused, and for a moment, she thought she saw his eyes fix, as if looking somewhere else. But the gentle smile quickly returned.
"No, Annalene is just fine."
"And you've met the tornado?" Annalene said.
"Callie,"
the girl repeated, going for a handshake of her own. The man nodded.
"Ben."
Before Annalene could ask more, he stepped past her to examine Snit. The animal seemed catatonic.
"I don't know much about this species," he said, "but he doesn't look good."
"He's in shock."
Ben appeared concerned.
"Can he make a go of it on three legs?"
"Let me ask the livery manager."
Annalene looked over at Callie, who was adjusting the saddle on Vilas. "What do you think?" Her daughter splayed her arms and whined.
"I didn't mean for this to happen."
Callie hated to lose any creatures at all. But even if Snit could somehow go on, Annalene had half a mind to shoot the nasty thing anyway. Which was when Annalene realized she had no weapon at all out here on the desert with a vagrant. But as before, Ben somehow seemed to sense her unease. He whistled once, and his Eyopi scampered back toward him. The animal was spry, despite being heavily laden with gear. Callie smiled.
"What's her name?"
"Rue.
Well, that's what they told me when I bought her."
Ben patted the Eyopi's snout.
"Good job, Rue,"
he said reassuringly. It reassured Annalene anyway. One thing about the low lives of Tatooine, they were seldom nice to children and animals. Ben had saved her child from an animal. And with that, her judgment was made.
"Well, good job to you too, Ben," she said, dusting herself off. "Why were you coming this way again?"
Scratching the Yopi's neck, he nodded to the southwest.
"I've set up house near the wastes. Just running some errands. Things to do, you know."
Annalene brightened. "No need to go to Bastien." She looked at some of the gear jutting from Rue's saddlebags.
"You're closer to the oasis. The Pika Oasis."
He scratched his beard.
"I heard there was a shop there."
"Danar's claim.
Best store in the oasis."
"Only store in the oasis,"
Callie piped in from behind. Annalene spoke without looking over her shoulder.
"Girl, I hope you're not talking again, because if you are, you should be apologizing to me and to this man and to the dewback you nearly killed. Ben chuckled and then stifled it. Annalene calculated he had kids of his own, or that he'd at least worked with them. He looked down at the Yopi's load.
This store, it has vaporator pots.
Wouldn't be much of a store without. And besides, you're looking at the... Before Annalene could continue, Ben's expression changed. Suddenly alert, he held up his hand.
Wait, he said, turning.
All three fixed their eyes on Snit's motionless body and watched as it began to descend, sinking in the sand. A groan came from beneath, and a tremor rocked the place they were standing.
I'm afraid that's your Sarlacc, Ben said.
Tendrils snaked upward, lashing around the huge form of the dewback. Annalene saw Ben reach for an object beneath his cloak, only to stop when he noticed her watching. She waved him off.
There's no blasting at a Sarlacc, she said. Perhaps you're right.
The tentacles began straining at the dewback, pulling it downward. Ben grabbed at the lead on a startled Eopi. Annalene hustled her daughter toward Vilas. Callie looked back in anguish.
Snit!
Comes out of your earnings, Annalene said, shoving the girl onto Vilas' saddle. She climbed in front. And you hang on this time. From atop Rue, Ben paused to look in amazement at the disappearing beast. The appetite of a Sarlacc was something no traveler could see and forget, Annalene knew. She wanted to ask where he was from, but it clearly wasn't the time.
Thanks again. Maybe we'll see you in the oasis.
Ben smiled mildly and nodded.
Maybe.
He pulled his cowl back over his head.
See you soon, Ben!
Callie yelled, waving. Annalene rolled her eyes. So much for remorse over Snit. Beneath them, Vilas started walking, eager to get away from the new Sarlacc pit. Remembering something, Annalene looked back at Ben, poised to head off to the southwest.
Hey!
Yes?
I'm sorry, she said. I didn't catch your last name.
Oh, he said, only to tilt backward as Rue broke into a sudden trot.
Sorry,
he said with an apologetic wave as the Eopi ran.
I think she wants to get home.
No doubt, Annalene thought. She's not alone. From behind a dune, a yark walked